Hello and welcome to the Boilers Extra Podcast. This is Sam King from the Journal and Courier, and I said I was going to try to get into doing more of these, so here's the second one in a week or so, well ahead of any schedule that I've had to date since I took over the Purdue beat, but I'm on my way to Gainbridge Fieldhouse. We've got media availability with the Purdue Boilermakers today and with Utah State as well, so I wanted to talk a little bit about what we saw in Friday night's 78-50 victory over Grambling, and just kind of touch on some things about why I think this Purdue team is more primed than ever to make a run in the NCAA tournament. And I will start with Wednesday night. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, at Samuel T. King, I was watching the in-studio production after the play-in game in Dayton that Grambling won against Montana State. And Candace Parker said something that just kind of caught me off guard. She was talking about Purdue and said Purdue doesn't like to play fast. Purdue likes to play, you know, its style of Big Ten play, slow plotting, and said that's when Purdue's really good, is against teams like that. I kind of, you know, from an outsider's perspective, a little bit see that if you haven't followed Purdue all year long. I'm sure the perception of Purdue is that's what it is. Historically, a team that will try to grind out a defensive battle and just come away with a, you know, 5-point win and move on to the next. But this team clearly is one that shows it can go out and run up and down the floor and boat race teams, really, in certain circumstances. Now, I'm sure that what Candace Parker was referring to was, you know, what she's known from Purdue's history. And if you also watched Purdue's two games in the Big Ten tournament against Michigan State and against Wisconsin, I can see why you would think that maybe a little bit. I think Purdue kind of got into playing the other team's speed. And even last night, as I'm recording this, against Grambling, it was, struggling defensively with screens and allowing Grambling to get some mid-range jumpers and stay in the game and really control the pace a little bit. When Purdue is really, really good, I think, and we saw it in the second half, is when it's able to get out and run and transition and score, you know, some quick buckets. And the one that everybody's probably going to point to is the missed shot that Edie rebounded and threw out to Braden Smith near midcourt, and he lobs it to Camden Heidi for an alley-oop. I think that's the, you know, the speed that Purdue would prefer to play at times. Had a conversation with several players at some point about this. Most recently, I talked to Fletcher Lawyer about a week ago, because everybody thinks that Purdue's this team that really just tries to slow it down, draw fouls, and get to the free throw line. And it, you know, that's great. Fouling out other teams' players and getting to the free throw line and getting some free points is a method, and it's been successful for Purdue. But the Boilermakers don't really like that, stop-start mode of basketball. Purdue would rather get in a rhythm and kind of just run up and down for a little bit and get its shooters to get shots in transition. And that's, you know, what helped Purdue, I think, last night open the gap a little bit late in the first half and then early in the second half. So the stereotype that Purdue's this team that wants to slow you down and play this, you know, physical brand of basketball and just win a 65-60 game probably doesn't fit with this Purdue team. You know, Purdue can win like that. Purdue can win in a multitude of ways, as we've seen. I mean, the team is 30-4, so at some point the Boilermakers have won in various fashions. But, I just think that when you talk about Purdue historically and you talk about the makeup of this Purdue team, especially now that Matt Painter, who many of you I know because you've emailed me, tweeted at me, whatever it might be, and said he doesn't adapt or doesn't adjust, you know, maybe this is a change in your minds, but he played Miles Colvin quite a bit in the game against Grambling. He's playing more of Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi to give you that athleticism. And, you know, the guys who have sacrificed because of that seem to be Ethan Morton, and probably to a degree, even though it's not the same position, Caleb First is struggling to get minutes right now. So, you know, I think Caleb First did some great things when he came in against Grambling there down the stretch. But, you know, the lineup probably is going to be what you've seen here in the Big Ten tournament and what you saw Friday night against Grambling. You're going to go with the same five that started all year long. And then you've got Mason Gillis, Camden Heidi, Miles Colvin coming off the bench. And then from there, it's, you know, anything else is probably going to be situational. So look forward to that as Purdue tries to progress through this tournament against Utah State on Sunday, and then moving forward against either Gonzaga or Kansas if the Boilermakers can get that far. So that's maybe one change, but I wanted to talk about one that you probably don't see. You don't see if you're not in the locker room after that game. And I've written about this several times throughout the year now, but it started at Northwestern when Purdue lost its first game of the year after starting 7-0, I think it was. And Fletcher Lawyer comes out of the locker room and said nobody had their head down. Nobody, you know, thinks the world is ending because we lost the first game of the Big Ten season. And, you know, I think the whole season has been geared towards not even Friday night, really. It's more towards, you know, the entirety of the NCAA tournament. You've got to look at it as a one-game-at-a-time approach, but the team has not shied away from saying we can win a national championship. So that was the case at Northwestern. It was the case when Purdue lost at Nebraska. It was the case when Purdue lost at Ohio State. And it was the case when Purdue lost to Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament. Never once did I feel like this team got knocked off of its path of, you know, or focus of what the end goal is. And that was the case again Friday night, where you think you won an NCAA tournament game, you're going to go into the locker room and everybody's going to be celebrating, high-fiving, laughing, having a good time. Wasn't the case. It was very, very businesslike, almost like, you know, last year was a kind of a depressing, somber feel as soon as you walked in. On Friday night, it was more like, that's out of the way, but what's next? And very much a driven group that I talked to a lot of guys who don't even get a lot of minutes. And that's, you know, all of them have bought into whatever it takes for me to be a part of this, to help us get 6 wins in this tournament is what I'm going to do. And, you know, I talked about the sacrifices of Caleb First, of Ethan Morton. Brian Waddell's another guy who probably could play some places, and right now is just in a situation where there's a lot of good players in front of him. Will Berg, I'm sure that a lot of fans who don't follow Purdue all season long last night, when Zach Edey left with 30 points and 21 rebounds, were thinking, well, you know, that's at least Grambling doesn't have to deal with the 7-footer anymore. And then you see Will Berg walk in, and it's almost like the fans that aren't used to seeing Purdue were like, wait, there's another one of these guys? So, yeah, I think Purdue's extremely deep, but I think that attitude that I just talked about in the locker room, where it's like, okay, one down, five to go, is probably the major difference. You know, last year Purdue talked all year about national championship, Final Four, but it felt like a team that just was saying it, was overachieving. You know, I'm sure that those guys all believed that they could do it, but I don't think it was a team that was really ready and braced for it, quite like this team is, where, you know, in a weird way, maybe the best thing that happened was losing to a 16 seed, as odd as that sounds, because it's made this team strive for what it takes to win an NCAA tournament game, and then another game, and then go to the next weekend and you know, redo the process there in Detroit if Purdue can get there. So I truly believe that Purdue is primed to do that. Utah State's going to do some things that probably are unexpected. You know, it's you know, the Aggies are at a little bit of a disadvantage. I think probably we'll have to run some zone defense to offset what Purdue has in Zach Edey. So, you know, it's funny because the Chris Kramer actually tweeted this, the Boilermaker defensive legend from, you know, 15 years ago now. The guys are going to have to be ready to shoot shots. And I thought that was something that wasn't the case in last year's loss against FDU. I just thought guys seemed like they were scared to shoot. And this year, the first game, everybody that got the ball was ready to fire it up, whether that was Miles Colvin, whether it was Camden Heidi, Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith obviously came out, chucked up 7 threes in the first half, which is a career high for attempts, and he had it by halftime. So that tells you that this team is, you know, different, not the team that, you know, that Candace Parker thinks they are, that other people who haven't watched this team all year think that this team is. So with that said, you know, I predicted Purdue would be in the Final Four. And you may say that's biased because I'm around the team quite a bit, but I'll tell you that I did not pick Purdue to go to the Final Four a year ago. I did not pick Purdue to lose in the first round a year ago, but I just thought like last year's team was maybe, you know, too much youth, you know, lack of experience at key positions, mainly the point guard, which I think is the most crucial position in the NCAA tournament if you're going to make a run. I think now Purdue's got that, you know, there's no questions about whether Purdue has a point guard that can carry you deep into March or not. And in my belief, Braden Smith will. And yeah, Zach Edey will get all the publicity, and he deserves to, certainly. What he's doing is phenomenal. But it was a very, again, very business-like approach. When you do something that hasn't been done in 29 years, you would expect that guy to be, like, you know, all about himself, or, you know, talking himself up, or how his teammates did a great job getting him in position. And it was more of, like, you know, what the mood of Zach Edey was kind of like, this is what we do. Like, if you're surprised by this, you haven't been paying attention. So to Candace Parker, to, you know, the other national pundits, and then even the casual fans who haven't been paying attention, what you saw, you know, especially in the second half against Grambling, is really what I think this Purdue team is. And you put together 40 minutes of that, and I don't care if you're UConn, Houston, Tennessee, you know, you name it, Arizona, I don't think there's a team in this tournament that could beat that team. But it's, you know, it's not going to be easy. I don't even think it's going to be a cakewalk over Utah State, but I think Purdue gets out of that game, you know, probably 10-point winner, 5-point winner, whatever it might be. And Utah State put up 88 points in the first round, so clearly a team that can score. A team that's scored a lot of points here down the stretch, especially in some games. So if it gets into that style where it's a, you know, running track meet type of game, I think that that's right up Purdue's alley, despite what the grand scheme of America thinks that Purdue is. So it's just another chance, I think, for the Boilermakers to show that we're not who you think we are. You can judge us off of a game last year, but at this point, that's tired talk. That's lazy analysis, to be quite blunt, because there's now, 34 games of proof that what people saw last March is not what people will see in this tournament, however long that lasts. So that's just kind of my take on everything. I'm driving to Gainbridge, like I said, right now to get some insight from the opposing side, and then again from Purdue. Now that the Boilermakers have had a chance to probably scout Utah State a little bit, so I'll have more up today with on jconline.com. With that, check back with that. I'll also tweet it out at Samuel T. King as soon as I get those stories published, and then obviously back in Cambridge Fieldhouse here in 24 hours, getting ready for a second round game. So keep following. I hope I get to keep doing these podcasts for Boilers Extra as long as this tournament run lasts, and then I'll do something when the season finishes just to kind of wrap it up, and then from there probably jump into football. But yeah, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.